This is VOA News. I'm David Byrd in Washington. The political party that nominated a Thai princess to run for high office says it will do as the nation's king wishes. We get details from correspondent Charles de Ledesma.
The Raksachak political party has sworn loyalty to the king a day after its stunning decision to nominate the monarch's sister as its candidate for prime minister backfired when the king intervened. The statement of compliance comes as the country ponders the whirlwind in which Princess Ubul Rat broke with a long tradition prescribing the monarchy's involvement with politics to become a candidate, only to have her brother, the king, invalidate her action with a late-night order. Thailand's March 24 election will be the country's first since the 2014 military coup. I'm Charles Ledesma.
Here in the United States, Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren has formally announced her candidacy for president. Speaking in Lawrence, Massachusetts, Warren called for change in a political system that she told supporters is rigged in favor of the rich.
Rigged by the wealthy and the well-connected. Hardworking people are up against a small group that holds far too much power, not just in our economy, but also in our democracy.
Warren avoided any direct criticism of President Donald Trump, calling him a symptom of the political system that favors the wealthy. Trump's re-election campaign issued a dismissive statement ahead of Warren's announcement, saying that her socialist ideas would hurt workers. Warren is the latest of several Democrats looking to win the presidency next year, including fellow senators Cory Booker, Kamala Harris, and Kirsten Gillibrand. She was the first high-profile Democrat to signal interest in running for the White House, forming an exploratory committee on New Year's Eve. For more, visit our website. This is VOA News. Talks aimed at laying the groundwork for President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un's second summit later this month continue. We get the details from AP's Ben Thomas.
The top U.S. envoy for North Korea was back in Seoul Saturday to brief South Korea's foreign minister and its chief nuclear envoy on 3 days of talks in Pyongyang. Stephen Biegun describes those meetings as productive, but adds, "We have some hard work to do before the second summit between President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un in Vietnam's capital, Hanoi, at the end of February." The State Department says the two leaders will seek to advance the commitments they made at their first summit to complete denuclearization, transforming U.S.-North Korean relations, and building a lasting peace on the Korean Peninsula. Ben Thomas, Washington.
Thousands of French Yellow Vest demonstrators marched on Saturday for their 13th week of action with scuffles in Paris. In the French capital, several thousand marched beside symbols of power, such as the National Assembly and the Senate. Though mainly peaceful, some protesters did throw objects at security forces. A scooter and a police van were set on fire, and some shop windows were smashed. Around 200 Yellow Vest demonstrators protested in the western French city of Nantes. Large numbers of riot police patrolled the streets of the city, firing tear gas at protesters and arresting at least two. The Yellow Vest demonstrators, named for the high-visibility car jackets that motorists are required to have in France, began in November over fuel taxes. They then broadened into a more general revolt against a political class protesters view as out of touch with common people. A lawyer says Tunisian authorities have given seven suspects life in prison and handed out other sentences in the trial over two separate terrorist attacks in 2015 that killed 60 people in Tunisia. Samir Ben Amour, the lawyer for one of the 44 defendants, said the verdicts were handed down Saturday for the deadly attack against the country's famous Bardo Museum and a massacre at a popular seaside resort. Islamic State militants claimed responsibility for the attacks, which, along with an attack on the Imperial Hotel, devastated the country's vital tourism sector and prompted foreign governments to issue travel warnings for Tunisia. U.S.-backed and Kurdish-led Syrian forces said Saturday they have launched a final push to defeat the Islamic State group in the last pocket that the extremists hold in eastern Syria. A spokesman tweeted the offensive began Saturday after more than 20,000 civilians were evacuated from the IS-held area in the eastern province of Deir ez-Zor. For more, visit our website. I'm David Byrd, VOA News.